Joan, a whole week has gone by. It looks like things are picking up here in the Vatican. We're getting closer to September and
the reopening of Vatican City.
Exactly. The Pope, in fact, was here this week for the general audience because, of course, he's been out at Castel Gandolfo for the past few weeks in the Roman hills. So, but now it looks like things are happening, jumping here in the Vatican.
Yeah, because I, you know, don't know if our listeners have recognized from past shows or if are talking about this, but things really closed down in Italy and in the Vatican as well in the summer. But as you said, it's picking up. The Pope is here for the papal news is picking up, and he was back, but just temporarily, just for the morning for the audience. But, you know, if we look back over the weekend, for example, we had a concert at the Vatican. We had the Pope saying the Angelus. We had the Pope's brother receiving honorary citizenship of Castel Gandolfo, because not much is written about it, but the Pope's brother does come down frequently to stay with him, both in Castel Gandolfo in the summer, sometimes for even a whole month, and at the Vatican here in Rome and Vatican City. So he was made, Monsignor Georg Ratzinger was made an honorary citizen. And it's really wonderful because when the award was given to, if you want to call it an award, to his brother, the Pope talked about old age. He talked about what a comfort his brother was to him, how close they are as friends, how many wonderful things they share, not the least of which, of course, is music. And so he said how his brother helped him bear the burdens of everyday life and of his office. And he really began with the words, "We've arrived at the final stage of our life, old age." The Pope did say, "Even at this age, my brother helps me accept the weight of each day with serenity, humility, and courage." And, you know, he just wanted to, you think of your own family and how family members do help us through the difficult moments of life. And it was wonderful to know the Holy Father has a brother that he can lean on, and I'm sure it's mutual.
Now, also over the weekend at Castel Gandolfo, the Pope recited the Angelus prayer, and he made some very important remarks about the tension, the fighting that we've seen going on between
in the Caucasus,
exactly, in Georgia and Russia.
Well, he urged all sides, obviously, to resolve the crisis peacefully through dialogue, saying this had seriously damaged international relations. And he really kind of urged people to not go back to, shall we say, Cold War days of East versus West, when there was a Berlin Wall and so forth. And he said, sadly, we note a deterioration in relationships, and we just have to be very careful not to have a recurrence of East-West Cold War tensions. And he said recent events have weakened in very many people the confidence that similar experiences are things of the past. He said they can be a thing of the past if we work on this. He said we can't give in to pessimism, and we must commit ourselves to so that the temptation to face new situations with old methods may be resisted. And above all, the Pope said forcefully that violence must be repudiated and the moral force of law must dominate. And of course, that's obviously Georgia and Russia, obviously a situation that is occupying the front pages of every paper and the headlines of every news show. So a very strong appeal Sunday.
He made another appeal, of course, this week for an end to violence, interfaith violence in India.
He did. A very strong appeal. As a matter of fact, the Pope's appeal at the Wednesday audience, it came at the end of the audience, is followed by one day a Vatican press office statement on the situation in India, on the violence of Hindus against Christians and predominantly Catholics. We've had like 11 people die just this past week. Several people have been burned to death. Churches and buildings have been burned. People have been harmed. And the Pope said he was profoundly saddened by news of the attacks on the Christian communities in eastern India. And he said, "I firmly condemn any attack on human life. I express spiritual closeness and solidarity to the brothers and sisters in the faith who are so harshly tested." And but it's important to mention the Pope also called deplorable the killing of a Hindu leader. And it was actually the killing of this Hindu leader for which Maoists have actually taken credit, but I'm not sure people are listening. It's the killing of the Hindu leaders, and hardline Hindu people have said that it's actually the Christians responsible for that. And so their violent retaliation for the death of the Hindu leader. And we just have this spiraling violence, and the Pope urged religious leaders and local authorities to work together to reestablish between the members of the various communities, he said, the peaceful coexistence and harmony that have always marked Indian society. Violence should always be condemned, but especially when it's done in the name of a religion. So those remarks about the anti-Christian violence in India did come at the end of the general audience. As we said, the Pope came in by helicopter for the audience. It was held in the Paul VI Hall. And he did dedicate his catechesis to St. Paul. And it was kind of cute. It's been a while since he's had the audiences here in Rome. And he noted that, he said, in the last catechesis before vacation, meaning his own, he said, 2 months ago, at the start of July, I began a new series of catechesis on the occasion of the Pauline year, looking at the world in which St. Paul lived. And then he traced the life of Paul, who, of course, received the name Saul and became Paul after his amazing conversion on the road to Damascus, the story that we all know of, his fierce persecution of the Church of God, and then his fierce to the death defense of the Church of God and of Jesus.
And in his catechesis, the Pope was really drawing an outline of some of Paul's journeys, wasn't he?
Well, he did. He mentioned exactly where Paul had his missionary journeys. He said he preached Christ in Anatolia, Syria, Cilicia, Macedonia, Achaia, and all throughout the Mediterranean. We know, of course, that he even touched on Malta and so forth. And, of course, many people are making pilgrimages to all of these places in this year dedicated to St. Paul, which we know began at the end of last June.
You know, one interesting thing that the Pope said was that Paul seems to be situated on the border of various cultures, Roman, Greek, Hebrew, and perhaps also because of this, the Pope said, he was disposed to fruitful universal openness, to mediation between cultures, to a true universality, which is something that's quite important in our world today.
Well, it is a kind of a mini globalization, if you will. Paul trying to get what he could in himself from the cultures that he might have been visiting, of the country he's visiting, and then bring that, first and foremost, the word of Christ, but bring that and then the other cultures, telling the Christians, for example, in Macedonia, all about the Christians, for example, in Anatolia or Syria. So he would have done his part to also share those cultures with other people.
Just a quick look back also, there was an important anniversary this week.
We can't let that slide by at all. On Tuesday, of course, the 26th of August, we celebrated the 30th anniversary, amazingly enough, of the election of John Paul I.
The first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And of course, we know that pontificate was brief. It began formally, if you will, on September 3rd. And he was found dead the morning of September 29th. So just
33 days of his pontificate.
Just weeks later, exactly. An amazingly brief pontificate, but one thing that I see when I look back at that, and I hate to tell you I was here for that, but one thing I see when I look back is the desire of the cardinals to elect a man who was a pastor, a very humble man, a man who loved to teach, who knew how to use words well, even though he spoke many languages and was very erudite. He was a pastor, and that seemed to be what the people really, really loved. Do they want a biblical scholar or something else? Maybe they react very, very well to a man who is a pastor.
He was always described as the smiling Pope.
Yes.
And noted quite on by so many people as being a humble and obedient man.
Well, humilitas was his motto. And he was indeed that. And his loss was keenly, keenly felt because he had, in a brief time, made a huge impact on so many people.
He made such an impact that he's now on the road to sainthood.
Indeed, he is. And, you know, there's so many interesting things we could talk about: his election, his pontificate, the conclave that elected him. But one fascinating thing, well, he did away with a lot of formal things. He did not like the use of the formal royal we when he spoke. And so he used I. And I find this fascinating. He actually used John Paul I. Now,
name.
He was the first person, pope to have ever had a double name, but he actually used first in his name. And when asked one day why, his answer was that there will be a John Paul II.
Well, Joan, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it on that.
I know,
our time has run out. Thanks so much, though, and we will be talking with you again next week as the Pope is heading off for Cagliari in Sardinia.
And we'll talk about that trip.
Okay, bye-bye.